Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It is a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. It's Joe Kane Day. We got to talk about sugar cane here, and we're going to do that. David Hubble is tantalizing me with the idea of a cane syrup cake. I think this could be very good. You know, I tasted the potential last night when I made those sweet potato buttermilk cornmeal pancakes. They were good. And then put the cane syrup on it. And this was cane syrup that I have, I don't know what's going to happen when this cane syrup's gone. This is cane syrup from Wayne County, Mississippi. Oh, boy. Is it ever good? It is absolutely stupendous. Maybe the best cane syrup. Well, it's right up there with the top. Really good. Made the old-fashioned way. It's in a can. It ain't got no label on it. You know how that is. Well, you may not know how that is. But if you've ever had old-fashioned sugar cane, you know how that is. It's just in a can. It ain't impressive. On the outside, it's just a little tin. It's a little metal can. Got a little cap on it. You pull that cap off, and it is dark. It is the most beautifully dark thing you've ever seen. It is absolutely delicious. Wonderful stuff. We're going to talk about cane syrup. We're going to talk about growing cane before the morning is out. I want to talk about this because it's really, really good. And I noticed somebody, you know, right now I can't even figure out who it was. Somebody said to me, and it may be David, I don't remember was David or somebody. Somebody said, I said something about it being dry in Mobile a couple of weeks ago. And somebody wrote in and said, well, okay, we keep hearing that it's wet. Why, you know, which is right? Is Bill right or is everybody else right? Well, this is it's a good thing to understand about how we get our information and how it has completely skewed our view of the whole world. So we're getting our information nationally and or statewide. And let me give you a picture of the problem if you don't know where you are and if you don't understand that Mobile is different than Tuscaloosa. Mobile is different than Birmingham. Mobile is different than Huntsville. Mobile is Tuscaloosa right now. There are areas around Tuscaloosa that are about 600% above normal in terms of rainfall. This happens from time to time, and this is over the last, how many days is that? Let me go back. This is over the last 14 days. So let's just go the last 14 days. Tuscaloosa is 600% above normal. Some areas around Tuscaloosa. At least there's no place around Tuscaloosa and Birmingham that isn't somewhere like 300 or 400% above normal for this time of year. Really big. But let's come back down here to the coast. I'm looking at the precipitation analysis. Maybe I overstate. Maybe it's closer to 500% above normal for Tuscaloosa, okay? But down here along the coast, when you look at the precipitation analysis on the coast for the last 14 days, Pensacola is only at 25% of normal rainfall. It's, you see what I'm saying? 100% is normal. They only have had a quarter of their normal rainfall for the past 14 days. Mobile is down. It's down. A lot of Mobile County is down. A lot of Baldwin County is way down. Somewhere around 50% of normal rainfall, between 50 and 75, over the past 14 days. It's been a little dry. Over the past 30 days, there's some serious issues developing. So if we don't get, it doesn't matter how much rain Tuscaloosa gets, your garden in Mobile ain't getting it. And we have very different climate zones in Alabama that we have to be aware of, and it's harder to do that. And I'm going to tell you it's much harder to do that because we're getting our information from places like AccuWeather and And they don't, those guys don't know where Mobile is. They don't know where Tuscaloosa is. There's a tendency for us all to experience the same thing. So if it's flooding in Central Alabama, and it is, it's a bad thing, then, it must be flooding. It isn't. And we're actually suffering from a little bit of drought, and that often happens here along the coast. We're in our own little zone here, and some of those fronts don't penetrate here as well as they do farther north. So, yeah, coming into spring, we're actually coming in a little bit dry. If you're fishing, Greg, if you're out there fishing, you're looking for bass, you're looking to fish in the rivers, and the big rivers, and all that water from Tuscaloosa is coming down the river, and the rivers may be at flood stage. Mobile Bay may be, there may be some effects from all that water coming into Mobile Bay, but your garden isn't getting its water from Mobile Bay. Well, not directly. It's getting it from the rainfall over your yard, and you ain't had as much rainfall as we would normally have, at least some of you. Mobile's, some parts, well, just north of Mobile, northeast of Mobile, maybe up. There's some spots that have had a little bit more than normal rainfall, but most of Mobile County, most of Baldwin County, a lot of Escambia County, a lot of Washington County, even Monroe and Clark counties, a lot of those areas are below normal in terms of rainfall. And that's a problem. It's a problem, and it could develop into a problem. So we've got to think, we've got to understand, we live in a slightly different zone than other people do. Our conditions here are different, and we've got to be prepared to think about that differently. By the way, I'm really worried about how we get our weather. It's one of the things that I think is suffering as we live our lives on the internet and Facebook, and we think, we think that we try to think like we're all living Fort Wayne, and we don't, and that is a big problem. And we're losing our weather. We're losing our ability to understand the weather where we are because of that, because we see weather as happening we see weather as being the same all over the U.S. We often talk about seasons, and this is we're in the middle of spring here. They're not in the middle of spring in Fort Wayne, but we're in the middle of spring here. Spring is developing pretty quickly. Joe Kane Day, it is our spring celebration. I hope you take a little bit of Joe Kane Day to think about, to appreciate the spring weather we're having, that this is the beginning of spring. It's a little uncertain. We sometimes get frost. We can still get a frost or two, but spring is well advanced on the Gulf Coast, and starts about February 15th, and February 15th, February 20th around Mobile, and it's moving that direction. That's where we are. Is it too early? Is it the right time to plant zinnias, 4 o'clock, and other flower seeds now, or should I wait? Well, Tina, it's a good question. Let me say that if you're going to plant them, I think the ground is a little too cool for some seeds and just perfect for others. And there's a lot of different seeds out there. If I were going to plant, if I were going to plant marigolds, yeah, you could probably do it right now in the ground. It could take a while. I think that marigolds would probably do okay. I think they're going to do okay. If we have another frost, you'll probably have to cover those little seedlings when they emerge. But you can do that easily. Here's what I would do, Tina. Sow your zinnias, your marigolds. Tell me what else you want to sow so I don't have to. There's a big, long list of things, different things, and they're all a little different. But sow your zinnias and your marigolds in pots now. This is perfect time for zinnias. There is no question. It's probably a good time for cosmos as well. I would have started my cosmos a little earlier. Marigolds, it's getting a little late. But I would start all of those in containers. It's a lot easier to do. And Tina, you might just call and let's talk it through what you want to do, because it's a fun question. And let's talk about the seeds that you can do. Cleome, you could put in the ground right now. I would put them in the ground. The 4 o'clocks? Yeah, I think I'd go ahead and put them in the ground. They'd be fine. They'd be fine. But give me a call. We can talk about the specifics. Hey, we'll be back. 251-343-0106. And to which I go, I'm going home to see my mother. I'm going home, no more to roam. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over home.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, you know, the weather is different in different places, and we kind of went out on that, and you may hate when I harangue, and I know I'm haranguing, but it's a good point. And so I got a text from 709 who's been asking me about his spruce pines, and there's some good questions about spruce pines too. But that in his little corner of Silver here, we had Silver Hill, we had 20% less annual rainfall than Mobile. That's pretty typical. That's, you know, and we often see that Baldwin County gets less rainfall than Mobile or gets more rainfall. There are places in Baldwin County, north of the interstate, that consistently get more rainfall than places south of the interstate. And probably the greatest rainfall, I believe the greatest rainfall around Mobile is somewhere up around Bay Minette. They get a lot of rainfall up there, oftentimes, that we don't get farther south. I can sort of understand why that's happening. But, yeah, so these are places that we think of as fairly close by, and we have a lot of changes in rainfall and temperatures that we have to understand. And that's, you know, it's just something we got to deal with, something we got to think about. And when somebody tries to oversimplify that, and most weather apps, gonna harangue you just a second. Those little weather apps that you use on your, you know, you got your little wristwatch here that's got all the little Dick Tracy kind of stuff on it. And when you pull up your little Dick Tracy wristwatch and it's got some phone, some weather app that says, oh, it's, that's, you can't use that for the weather. 'Cause they're in Kansas. I mean, literally, they're in Kansas, and they don't know what's happening in Mobile, and they don't care to refine the forecast to that point. National Weather Service is much better at it. If you want to get your weather forecast, get it from National Weather Service. That's it for the harangue. Now we're going to talk about something really cool, because I said we were going to talk about cane syrup. This is being Joe Cane Day, and what a day for cane syrup. And, I guess... I worry, who would have thought that a boy from Mississippi, whose only real skill is digging post holes, that's me, folks. I dig post holes really well. And I got to say, I'm from Mississippi, 20 miles from the Alabama state line, so you can't just, there ain't much difference between me and everybody else in Alabama. We all talk the same language, we should, and I should not be talking over your head when I talk about cane syrup. And I realize, oh man, the world is, it just, I don't know where we live, because people don't know what cane syrup is like. It's an incredible thing. David Hubble, please tell people about cane syrup.
I'll do my best. I actually have only been using it for a couple of years now, but it reminds me of a kind of a thinned out molasses.
Yeah.
And, but it's not quite as harsh. Is that a good way of describing it, maybe?
Yeah, yeah. It has a lot of different flavors in it. So, David, here's what I'm going to do, David. I'm going to share with you a can of this sacred Wayne County cane syrup, because it's going to make it a lot harder. And if you could find anybody making it, you know, there is the off-the-shelf cane syrup, which you can get it at Rouse's, right? And it's pretty good.
Right.
Have you had any cane syrup that comes in those little cans that don't have any labels on it, that's from some guy in the middle of somewhere, Louisiana? Have you ever had one of those?
Not really. I've had some that wasn't part of the big commercial brands, but I do know there's a guy in, I think, Washington County that he does it once a year and makes a big batch. And so I've never gotten any of his, but I've heard a lot of people say it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. And the old way of making it is you run your cane, you strip the cane. A lot of times, of course, the famous operations are the ones that are the most scenic, have the little horse running a mill, to have the mule running a mill going round and round in circles as you put the
right.
You feed the cane into this cane squisher, which is the best description of it. It just squishes the cane as the mule turns in a big circle and squishes the cane, and the juice runs out, and then they take the juice over to a series of vats,
mm-hmm.
in which they cook it down slowly in each of those vats. And that slow cooking process just creates these incredible qualities that I think is hard to reproduce in an industrial situation, but it can be quite delicious. And to me, it is molasses is harsh. It has a bitterness to it. There's no question. Molasses can have a bit of a bitterness to it.
Right.
I'm not sure why that it does that, but at least most of the commercial molasses. But cane syrup has this beautifully sweet, even when it's incredibly dark, it has this beautifully sweet quality, but it also has all of these other flavors in it that are really good. And last night I caught a little bit of coconut flavor that I've been trying to put, but it was a little bit of a coconutty vanilla kind of quality that was really quite good. So,
yeah.
David, he has got this recipe, and I said, okay, you got to share it. David, tell me about this recipe.
Okay. I'm trying not to butcher the French, but the French is gâteau de syrup or cane syrup cake. And my people came up between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, known as the German Acadian Coast or River Parishes, and that's very famous for sugar cane. And so that was a staple as part of their everyday diet. So this cake is like a gingerbread, but maybe not quite as thick.
Mm. It sounds delicious.
Okay.
It sounds perfect. Yeah.
So I can give you the whole recipe if you want.
Yeah, yeah. Let's give it a shot and see what happens. See what happens.
Okay,
I think we can pull that off.
This is from a book called Mamma's Country Creole Cookbook by Nancy Tregg Wilson. She is, if you've seen the Mam Papal box mixes and stuff out in Rouse's and stores, she's the one who created all that.
Huh.
And she's put this cookbook out about those last 2 years, and it's got all these traditional recipes. But anyway, it starts with 1 cup of granulated sugar, a stick of butter,
yep.
3 eggs, 3 large eggs, she says, 2 cups of cane sugar, I mean cane syrup, 4 cups of all-purpose flour, 2 teaspoons baking soda, 1 teaspoon cinnamon, 3/4 teaspoon freshly grated nutmeg, 1/2 teaspoon ground cloves, and 1 cup whole milk.
Yeah. So I'm writing all this down because I'm really selfish and I really want to make this. It was
half a cup of milk,
1/2 cup of whole milk, and...
No, 1 cup of whole milk.
1 cup of whole milk, and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I missed something. 2 cups of cane, so the sugar, the butter, and the 2 cups of cane syrup, and then the flour. But I missed something else. There was another ingredient
in there?
Up there. Eggs! Goodness gracious. You had three eggs?
Three large eggs.
Yep. Boy, that sounds beautiful. That sounds really beautiful. So I'll tell you, here's what I did, David, with the pancakes, and I'm still experimenting. I took about the same proportions of sweet potato. So I grated my sweet potato. Didn't cook it, just grated it. I took about let's say a cup of sweet potato, a little more than a cup of cornmeal, and about a half a cup of white flour, about 1.5 cups of cornmeal, half a cup of, gonna stretch it just a little bit, half a cup of white flour, 1.5 cups of cornmeal. Put that all together with baking soda, baking powder, salt. I didn't feel a need for sugar, and then mix the buttermilk in, and you got to kind of feel for the right texture on the buttermilk. You never know. I like it to be a little bit runny so the pancakes are not too thick. And you could add cinnamon to that. You could add ginger to that. I think ginger added to that would be really good. And then I fry the pancakes. Go ahead and drop that in. Fry the pancakes. It's absolutely delicious. Really beautiful way. Are you making sweet potato pancakes?
There's a mix out there you can get, and it's pretty good. And I think you just add water and milk. And
good.
So if somebody wants to start that way first, they could do that and then advance your recipe.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel like I've made a huge advance. Just kind of throwing stuff together. We're going to be back. David, it is always good. I love this recipe, man. I got to try it. I'm really excited.
I've made it one time before. It's really good.
Good. We need to take a break. Charlie, I'm ready. I'm pushing you all over the place, but here it comes.
If it keeps on raining, Libby's going to break. If it keeps on raining, Libby's going to break. And when the levee breaks, I'll have no place to stay. Me no levee taught me to weep and moan. Me no levee taught me to weep and moan. God, what it takes to make a monkey man leave his home.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast sunny morning with Plain Gardening. We've been talking about the very thing we should be talking about on Joe Cane Day, which is cane syrup. And boy, it's good. Hey, David, I got a couple of questions I got to ask you. David Hubble's on. David is our great explorer of traditional of Gulf Coast traditions, particularly those pertaining to Louisiana. And he gave us a great recipe for a cane cake. Cane syrup cake. And David, I got most everything, which I think I could repeat to people, except tell me about temperature and how long to cook this thing.
Okay. You want to preheat an oven to 350 degrees, and you want to butter and flour either a 9x13 pan or a bundt cake pan.
Yeah.
And then you'd go ahead and do the typical, in a large bowl, you'd cream together the sugar and the softened butter. It just says by hand here. Then you'd add the three eggs one at a time and beat each of them well. And then after you've got all that incorporated, you want to beat in the syrup. And then in a separate bowl, you have your flour, baking soda, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves all sifted. together. And then you'd want to add the flour mixture to your butter mixture and alternate it with milk.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so you just do all that to incorporate all that. And then you can pour it and or spread it in the pan or the bundt cake. And it just says bake until cake springs back when lightly touched, about 1 hour.
All right. About an hour. Good.
Cool cake completely before serving.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, that sounds good. That sounds really good. Another great way to use cane syrup. Now all we got to do is figure out somebody to manufacture it. So, David, I'm going to have to share with you some of this cane syrup and to get your thoughts to see whether you think it's has any advantages. I do think our traditional cane syrup made the traditional way is often better. David, did you not give me, and I have some beautiful purple sugar cane. Do I remember correctly that you gave me that sugar cane?
Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. Yeah. Tell me about that purple sugar cane.
I got those from a friend. They said they were an old-style chewing cane from Vacherie, Louisiana. I mean, that's where it was growing. And he brought it to me, I don't know, 8-10 years ago, and I've been growing a couple of stalks every year. Nothing massive, just enough to kind of maybe smoke meats or if I want to do a homemade andouille, since they smoke use sugar cane to smoke it. As part of that and pecan and corn cobs, I just kind of wanted to do that to have that on hand, plus, you know, kind of keep up the traditions.
Yeah, so it is good, and it's a beautiful cane, one of the cool things about cane, about sugar cane, is that it's a beautiful ornamental in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's big. It ain't one of these little things. It's big. It doesn't spread like wildfire. It just makes a nice tight clump, but it gets tall. And mine was up, it's 10 feet tall, probably. And all of those little, you know, at the top, these grass blades, it's kind of a narrow at the waist. All the way up, and then at the top, all of these grass blades sort of fluff out, spread out like a little fountain, and they just dangle. They play in the wind, and they're so beautiful. It really is a beautiful thing in the garden. So it really is fun to grow in the garden if you've got enough space for it and you've got enough sun. It's a really beautiful thing.
That's been my challenge with all the shade in my yard. I get about 3 stalks that go pretty good, but then a lot of them, I just need to relocate it to a more sunny location.
Yeah, and they love sun. I got another one, a Jamaican striped, it's not available anymore. There's a funny story, and there's a funny story that, it's an interesting story. Sugar cane has a really deep history in the Southeast, it drove the slave trade. It drove the slave trade in the Caribbean. It led to the Haitian Rebellion. It has this really to make lots of sugar cane. There was a big industrial thing. It was a really tough tradition, but it also has another tradition in the South, and that is it was grown by individuals, small farmers, and if they were able to convert it into a product, a value-added product like cane syrup, which they were able to do, they actually made a pretty good bit of money on small acreages of sugar cane. So it really had that other tradition too, and that's the tradition we're talking about, not the sugar cane industry that created sugar for Europe.
Right.
But this cane syrup, and it is so interesting. So one of the interesting things is that when Baker Creek tried to offer a strain of very interesting strain of sugar cane from the Caribbean, which I managed to get, they got such flack about it because of the old industrial slavery-related things that they just said, oh, we can't deal with the controversy anymore. We're not going to offer it anymore. So they quit offering it. But I still have the those few little cane pieces, and they're and they're really great and really wonderful. And Jim in Georgetown, I should share some of that with you. I think you'd appreciate it. I don't think you've got either David's purple or my Jamaican yellow stripe, so we'll figure out how to do that. That's really cool. And, David, I'm going to have to figure out how to get you a can of this Wayne County syrup.
Well, I'll bring just some, so you some pepper jelly to trade you.
Yeah, that's a great trade. I love this trade. This is good.
Okay.
It's good. That's a deal. You're on. We'll figure out how to do it.
Okay.
All right. David, always good to hear from you.
You too. Y'all take care.
Yeah. Yeah. So, David, David Hubble has these incredible, and he's putting together, he's got this stuff for sale, he's got a website, and I'm going to tell you as soon as I remember how to get you there, David, send me that website so that people can order some of these products from you. I think you've got a way to do that. And but David's a real aficionado of these Gulf Coast traditions. And what a great Gulf Coast tradition to talk about on Joe Kane Day. I hope somebody out there who can do something about it is paying attention. C.B. Carl sent me, he made some with his neighbors in Bon Secours. That's really great to hear. You know, I hope you're doing it again. It's a tradition we shouldn't lose. It's really one of the great products, great value-added product. I think we could do well. We could market this thing, because when you make it the traditional way, it is so incredibly good. It is so delicious. That slow cooked way, where you just you keep pouring it off and keep. It's very different than the industrial processes, and the flavor is very different. And Rouse's has a pretty good off the shelf. As do some other stores, pretty good off-the-shelf cane syrup, but it ain't quite as good as it could be. So we're gonna keep talking sugar cane up as the year goes on, and any Joe Kane Day, that's what you get to hear is cane syrup. Oh man, is it good? Is it ever good? I got a text from somebody said I've been hearing a lot about filler grasses in the marketplace. That's dangerous. It's dangerous to listen to that. Or it's dangerous to follow through on that, let me tell you. And she has centipede grass, which we've talked about before. Centipede grass would like to strengthen the grass area where the dogs lay. Would any mixture be helpful, or what else to try? Let me tell you that our southern grasses, St. Augustine and centipede, do not stand up well to dogs, or to places where dogs lay frequently. And there's no grass that's going to do that really well. There are some, if you can find, and certainly nothing from seed. Those seed mixes, oh, they're so bad. They're designed for Fort Wayne, Indiana. They will not grow well here. If they do grow well here, you will regret it, because they will put up seed heads all the time. But I think you're probably safe, as long as it doesn't have hay in it. It's safe to say that it's not going to be a problem, because they're going to all die. Because they're not going to take the heat here. So don't use things. But listen, the one thing I keep saying, and I'm going to keep saying it until somebody shoots me, I reckon, is that monkey grass is incredible for those kind of conditions where you've got high dog traffic, where you got too much shade. And monkey grass mows really well, and the dogs will love it. Some people say, well, if it flowers, well, don't let it flower. It doesn't have to flower. Just cut it. Just keep mowing it. And you won't have to mow it maybe four times a year, five times a year. You don't have to be mowed that often. Just mostly keep the weeds out. So here we go. If you want more detail on that, give me a call, and let's talk about it. Oh, Johnny Good. I'm glad we could talk about Johnny's cabbages and bald eagles and Jim, we got to figure this thing out. Oh, yeah. We're going to figure this trading situation out. Hey, we'll be back.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Ooh, boy, we got this great little recipe, this gâteau de sirop. If I got it right, David, is that kind of close? It's a traditional Louisiana recipe for using cane syrup. Really excited about it. A couple other things to think about. Jim and Georgetown, we're going to figure this out. Jim, I'm going to be forever embarrassed that I forgot that somehow Georgetown broke off and floated around in my head and ended up in some atrocious place. I know where Georgetown is, Jim. Yeah, I don't know. Don't rub it in. It was crazy.
I got.
So, yeah, it's back in the right place in my head now, and Jim's doing real well with some pretty looking sugar cane there. So you and David need to come up with a trade too, is what you're saying?
Well, I need to trade you with the sugar cane if you want to get rid of some of yours that I don't have. That's right.
So you don't have this. You don't have this purple sugur cane, do you? What's your variety?
Purple on the bottom. I'm pretty sure it is the purple.
Okay, it is purple. So maybe I need to get you some of the Jamaican. So I'll see if I've got some. We got to figure out how to trade that. And are you going to grow?
I've got blueberry wine be bottled here coming up in about a month and a half, and some Satsuma wine in about two and a half months.
Jim, I should just give you this for free, but you know, if you want me to give you some sugar cane for free and you give me some blueberry wine for free, that would work out real well.
Sounds like a plan.
I like this. This is good. So we'll figure out how to do this trade. It's a really good trade. Are you gonna grow enough of the sugar cane to process it, Jim?
Actually, I had enough this year to process. The only thing is, I didn't replant it. So, in replanting it, that just means I'm going to have that much more next year.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's right. You got to build your stock up. That's good. That's good. Right. I'm excited.
Now, what we did, we took one of them and we chopped it into medallions, and we boiled it in water and jugged it, and then we did just regular water in the other one. And we're going to see what those taste like in about, 6 months, something like that.
Ooh, that could be fun. That could be a lot of fun. Yeah.
The one we boil might actually end up as a syrup as it is. So we'll see.
Yeah, that is so cool. So that sounds like a lot of fun. So you definitely got a report on that. This is so good.
I will.
This is excellent. Hey, Jim, good to hear from you.
Always good to talk to you, Bill.
Keep us posted. I'll message you and we'll figure out how to make this free trade work. A new free trade agreement.
I'm a free trader, Bill. Absolutely.
It's developing here. That's right. So good, good. Hey, Johnny, we got just a little bit of time, but Johnny, I want to hear about the cabbages. Tell me what's going on.
The cabbages came out good this year. You just didn't see them because we ate them all up already.
We ate them all. So yours head up. Johnny's got the touch, folks. I got to say, Johnny's got the touch.
There's no secret to growing anything. There's only just the right way to do it. It may take you about 1,000 times to do it, but there is no secret. It's just all that gardening is local, just like politics, you know. So I figured out the way to do it down there, and I sent you that picture with the post holes dug on the row.
Yeah.
For some reason or another, those cabbages like that hard. We don't call it hard, it's called firm soil. It's settled.
Yeah.
And so that's the best seems to be the best way to do it to me. And just a little compost and a little fertilizer in there when you plant them. And then I don't do anything to keep the worms off of them after that.
Right. I agree. I don't dig a lot. I think it is a mistake to overdig soils, and I don't think any plant likes overdug soils. So I think you're absolutely right there. But they're looking beautiful. Tell me about this bald eagle, John.
Well, I tell you, it looks to me. I used to live up in Alaska. I'll say that, and I've seen them many times. And we've got a couple of bald eagles that I've spotted in South Mobile County. They've taken up residence down there again.
Well, that is great to hear. You know, it's really good to see them in a lot of places. The other day, I was in my pea patch, literally in my pea patch, and there's a field right across from it. And my chickens, my little dinosaurs, were making a lot of noise. And suddenly, this eagle just drops down. Maybe a couple hundred feet, and just right there in that field, nothing between me and him. And he's looking at those chickens, and he's saying, "Oh man,
yeah,
I want them chickens bad." And he just sits there and looks at us, and then flies around in the circle, trying to figure out how to get to the chickens, who are mostly in their coops, and he couldn't get to them. But I did notice some unusual leavings, I will say, on top of the chicken coop. So I have a feeling he's been attracted by chickens. But I don't begrudge him that. I'm not going to let him have one, but I don't begrudge his wanting them. And it is so beautiful and so cool to see him.
Yeah, I did want to ask you something about the loquats I planted. They're on their second year, and I was wondering about how long you think it's going to be before they'll bloom out and start getting loquats on them.
You know, they're pretty precocious, as we like to say. I would say by the third year, you're going to get you'll get flowers. If they're growing well, they're usually it's third or fourth year, and they'll start producing flowers. So, and I don't see a problem with that. I mean, they grow fast. They handle that well. And they're one of the fastest fruits to get. I mean, it can take a long time before you see it with others.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you'll see flowering in the third year.
All right. Well, sounds good.
Johnny, it's always good to hear from you. Thank you, sir. Boy, I wish I could grow cabbages like Johnny grows cabbages. They're just incredible. They're beautiful. They always are. And even in tough conditions, Johnny manages to do it. I did okay with my cabbage this year. I'm pleased with it. It wasn't as tight a head as I might have liked. Well, the truth is, I didn't really mind because they were still really, really good to eat. Whew, what a morning. I hope y'all are having a good Joe Kane day. I hope while you're having this Joe Kane day, you remember how good cane syrup is and how we need to be introducing it back into our traditions. I am so pleased and proud to walk away from this show with a great recipe for cane syrup cake from Louisiana. We're going to try it. It's good. It looks good. David, thank you. We had a great time talking about it this morning. We're going to be back next week. So you stay tuned, and y'all have a safe Joe Kane day.
Call any vegetable, call any, call it by name. Call any vegetable, call one today. Call when you get off the train. Call any vegetable, call any vegetable. And the chances are good. All the vegetable will respond to you.
Some people don't go for prunes, I don't know.